we're really kind of talking two-tiered. One is about this new credential in the coaching field, which really hasn't even gotten off the ground, but ILCC was chosen as one of the coach training programs to participate, which is set up by the National Center for Credentialing of Health and Wellness Coaches. And the other just is talking about our wellness coaching program. And Lori Moss is here. Lori has been an ILCT student and actively involved in teaching in the wellness track with her two fabulous body-mind courses, and is going to be working with me and as serving as the director for this new credential. And so that's really exciting.
Ellen, there's a lot of noise on the line, so I guess Amy's got everybody muted. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I don't have everyone muted yet. Everyone's just being real quiet, so I don't know if that's coming from your phone, Ellen, but it's like a weird, like electronic crackling almost. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Maybe if your system's going through Ohio.
Yeah.
When you mute everyone,
it'll calm down.
Let me just give it a try right now, and we'll see.
Okay.
Does that include us?
Nope.
No, okay.
Oh, darn.
Okay, so the sound is gone, so it was along the airways.
Okay. And to unmute yourself, you're just going to hit *6. And we really would love to have you, just we want to make sure that everybody gets a chance. So, Lori, if you want to say a little bit, and then I will just sort of introduce this new credential that a lot of people have questions about, and then we can field those questions.
Yeah, welcome everybody who's on the call or who will be listening to the tape. I've really been having a great time with Ellen, kind of helping to create this program using what we already had and then adding some other things to fulfill it. And so I actually look forward to hearing what the update also is on it, because it kind of changes. It's a new credential, and a lot of things are still in development. And the courses I've taught, I've been teaching since 2006 in the curriculum here, and so I look forward to continuing to do so. And the new one that's not new, but I hadn't taught it for a couple of years, is called the Body, Mind, Life Coaching Specialist. And I'll be talking a teeny bit about that. But also, some people ask some great questions that really are wonderful leads in to describing why body, mind coaching and body, mind awareness is so essential to coaching in general, especially if you're in the wellness coaching field. So anyways, why don't you go on, Ellen?
Okay, so this new credential, and it's got way too long, so we're just going to call it the National Certification in Health and Wellness Coaching, because it's like 6 letters long, was really established after about 5 years of research. A group of people from Harvard and Georgetown, Jim Strohecker, who teaches the wellness inventory, and a number of others, Meg Jordan, all came together because there's been such a rise in the number of people who are calling themselves health and wellness coaches. And this is an issue that goes across all of the coaching fields, because there are no states right now that have any requirements in terms of whether you have to get training, what you call yourself, how you can operate. So they spent a lot of time going through the research and pulling up and ultimately coming up with what they call their job task analysis. For those of you who've trained at ILCT, it is very much, you will find as you look at it, and we will send it out to you at the end of this call. They went through and specifically looked at what we would call the ICF core competencies, but they've really tied it more into wellness. And with a focus on that these are skills, techniques, approaches that everyone who is going to be certified as a health and wellness coach would be aware of and be able to demonstrate and incorporate into their practice. For those of you who have gone through our 80-hour wellness co- coaching specialist. You guys will know this stuff very well because it really, when you do the elective courses like Lori's or Beyond Recovery or some of the other wellness ones, it really is following sort of the same philosophy of coaching. So as they did this job analysis of what people should have, there were a couple pieces that they came up with. And I will tell you, I talk to them every month or so. This is still a work in progress. They are not going to have the exam ready until probably 2017. It was supposed to be by June of this year, but that does not look like it's going to happen, and they're not even going to start taking applications at this point until the fall of 2016. So it's a great thing with a lot of work behind it, but not really ready to go yet. And the schools all had to apply by October, I think, of last year to put together a program that met all of their qualifications, which after interviewing with Lori and I, we did very well. So here are the requirements. You need to have 79 hours of coach training, of which a majority of it has to have been live, at least 30 to 40 hours. You have to have a 3 hours of mentor coaching. You have to do a, like our core competency class, you have to have a demonstration coaching evaluation based on the job task analysis, and you have to have 50 hours of, no, it's something like that. The coaching experience, they have a criteria which is being adjusted, but it's like you have to have a listing of 50 coaching sessions of 25 minutes or more in the area of wellness. The idea is, an associate's degree at this point. So the idea was that by creating this common shared requirements and expectations and kind of identifications of what skills was, they would be able to begin really quantifying what it meant to be a health and wellness coach and to really start moving that profession forward, because it really is, as many of you from our program who are working as health and wellness coaches know, this is one of the faster growing areas in the coaching field. So we were thrilled to be chosen. It meant that Lori and I had to figure out a few additions to our program. And we are only temporarily approved because the full approval doesn't go till 2017. But anyway, we've built it. We went through all of our classes and decided which ones really fit into the job task analysis that they were looking for. So the majority of ours did. And what we've decided and got approved by them is anyone who has approved or completed our Wellness Coaching Specialist Program has already met the requirements except for the mentoring and the final analysis. And for those who are working on getting it, we've got a full list of classes that are approved by this organization as well as ILCT. So that as you are doing your wellness coaching specialist, taking those classes can also then, when they open up the exam, qualify you to sit for the exam. The two pieces we did not have until now was a lifestyle. They want you to have 15 hours of knowledge in lifestyles. So what does that mean? It's nutrition. It's, you know, heart issues, anything that you really coach on in terms of wellness. We've worked with Deanna Nagel, who actually does health and wellness coaching, and she sets up our self-directed courses. And so she has created a 15-hour lifestyle class, which is self-directed, that you can take. But at this point in the program, during this transition stage, if you have gone to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, if you have spent a lot of time studying paleo diets and stuff like that, and you feel fairly comfortable with your knowledge of the basic areas of what a health and wellness coach works with their clients on, you don't have to take the class. You just really will, when you go in for the exam that they have, will want to have really brushed up on lifestyle stuff. The other two pieces that we've set up, and we really aren't doing them yet, A, because we're not sure of the interest, B, we still have 6 months, is we're going to, Lori Moss and I are going to do a short mentoring class that will allow you a chance to really transition your coaching from the core competencies to the job task analysis, to be really aware of what the three or four quadrants are. And as part of that, it will count for your evaluation. And so you'll get feedback. Lori has studied a lot and done mentor coaching a lot. So you will get feedback on your coaching that you'll be able to go in and present to this organization to show, yes, you have met every single requirement for this credential. So that's an overview. Lori, what have I missed?
You're doing well. Batting 100.
A couple people have asked, what is the value of this credential? As you know, that remains to be seen, you know, whether there's a value to any of the coaching credentials without licensing. But certainly I think one of the things that and why ILCT was really interested in being a part of this is it's moving the profession forward. Each time you come up with stricter and stricter, not so ridiculously strict, but really prescribe things that one should know in order to serve in a field of coaching, it really does move the field forward and eliminate some of the people who are calling themselves coaches and yet not really doing coaching.
Right,
and the organizations tied behind this are fantastic. Lori, go ahead.
Yes, exactly. No, I was just going to say that plus the organizations that are exactly that are supporting this and creating this have a lot of high level of professionalism and respect. And so my interest in seeing if we could stay involved in this program if possible is that it enables people who have gone through our wellness track, who have gone through our different foundation courses, can get a certificate in wellness. And if they want, they can, first of all, it'll be something they can use on their own advertising. But if they want to get a job in a wellness organization, they already now are at the highest level of certification for wellness that's nationally out there by really professional and high-level granting organizations. So that's, I think as a marketing tool, it's really good.
Yep, absolutely. Especially in terms of inspiring clients.
Yeah.
And there's so much, especially in wellness, there's so much to be aware of, like different states and different laws. You know, in terms of like in Ohio, if you give dieting advice, you're supposed to be a dietitian. So, it really is going to sort of start setting those boundaries. And Lori's saying national, and so am I, and that is because it will not be opened up until an international credential until 2017, partly because they're just working on getting the testing site set up.
Mm-hmm.
But their plan is to have this be international.
Mm. That's great. So do you have anything more you want to say? You want to open up to any questions about the credential or our program?
If there are any questions. If you have a question and you want to unmute yourself, you can hit star or asterisk 6.
Hi, this is Gail from...
And if there are none... Oh, go ahead.
Gail.
Sorry. I'm just curious more about the mentoring class. Did you say you have a date for that one yet?
We don't. As part of sending this out, sending the recording out to you guys, I'm going to put a couple different things. One will be an interest sheet. And there's one of the questions I have thrown into this board is, for those who have done our foundations class in the last year and a half, they get 3 hours of mentor coaching. And we're trying to get clarification on, is it all mentor coaching or is it just mentor coaching when they are doing wellness coaching? But I'm hoping that we can start doing these, and they'll be fairly small classes, fairly inexpensive, and really running them starting early this summer for everybody to be who is interested in becoming credentialed to be able to be ready when they open up the application period, hopefully in September or October.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, though one of the things is that if you do fill out the form that Ellen sends out that you're interested in it, as soon as we have people who have met the qualifications to take that mentor group, you know, we will be able to set it up. So, you know, could be late spring, early summer.
Yep.
So, Ellen, if I were to send you an email just kind of giving you background of my credentials, could you give me guidance there on as to what you would suggest I take or that sort of thing? Because I have...
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Okay, perfect. I have previous certification from other colleges, and I have a wellness inventory, wellness inventory diploma that I took with Jim 2 years ago.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, okay, so I will do that. I'll send you an email.
That would be great. Yeah, I am Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at lifecoachtraining.com.
Ellen, this is Beverly. I just had a question, actually, to clarify for myself. I did my foundational course through ILCT, but I also did the Wellness Inventory Assessment Program. But it was the earlier version, not this version, that they're offering now. And so with the 79 hours, I don't think that I would have that just in the wellness coaching training.
Right.
So,
Bev, I think you do. And 40 of the hours is just the foundations class.
Oh, okay.
So I'll pull your transcript up, but I'm sure you do.
Because I took the wellness inventory when it was the earlier version before they added the other coaching training classes to it.
Okay. Well, and Jim Schrodecker was part of this, so certainly all of the wellness inventory counts.
Right. And also, I took the Beyond Recovery course, so that would be additional.
And that is one of the approved classes.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to say to add validity to what you're saying about this credentialing, within the last 5 months, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there was a company out of Indianapolis, Indiana, who got the contract for the city of Charlotte to open 5 clinics all around Charlotte, and that's where the city of Charlotte employees were going to get their health care. But they're also including integrative medicine, so they have wellness coaches, et cetera. But the city of Charlotte requested that they add life coaches. So this company, and this is the first time for them, they're adding a position called life and wellness coach. And I've interviewed for that position. So I think I'm saying that so that you realize that this is actually something that's getting recognized as an important part of working with people in the workplace.
Thank you for sharing that, Bevan. I absolutely agree with you. We have trained 2 different EAP organizations who always just had counselors in that spot. So people were, you know, employees were calling in, and they've now added life coaching. Because not everyone needs to have a counselor, but they really need, you know, a coach can really help them to meet a lot of their goals. So I think this is a trend that is really shifting, just like you're seeing down there.
Uh-huh. But they're calling it a life wellness coach. So it's not the same as a health coach, because the health coach position is requiring people that have a nursing background or something medical. But this position is
interesting.
Not requiring
okay.
someone with a medical background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you're going to – a lot of organizations that have a part of this credentialing, this new certificate, are health-focused, and many are health and wellness. So I think you're going to find that distinction made quite a bit. for people who are in the medical field who want to get into the coaching field. You know, so.
But also, I think it addressed the concern that they didn't have actual coach training, and that they should.
Yeah, they definitely should. Yeah, that's why they're doing this credential. Absolutely. Yeah. Mary Beth, you had a couple questions about the credentials. Do you want to ask them, or did you get them answered when you wrote them?
Yeah. Thank you. I have a question about the fact that, okay, I have my BCC, but I'm not a specialist in any area, and I'm wondering if, you know, when I have contact with clients and I'm taking the wellness classes, can I count those hours toward this wellness certification?
Can you count which hours? Your
the hours that I
coaching work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Okay, so you don't have
and
to
And I would encourage all of you to always keep track of all the coaching you do. You know, ILCT gives out, so does the ICF, a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then just, especially for this credential, just making a little note, like whether it was wellness. And if you ask me, I have a really hard time sometimes, other than the health coaching that Bev just brought up. You know, what is the difference between wellness and life coaching? If we're both dealing, and Lori, I'd love you to address this, if we're dealing with a person's finding balance and kind of a sense of wellness in their lives, does life coaching, and I think maybe this is what you're getting to, Mary Beth, is that what, does life coaching count for wellness coaching?
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's only when they differentiate it and they say health. And they call it health coaching. And then it's tricky, in my opinion, when they just call it health coaching. Because sometimes they have no training in life coaching or wellness coaching that involves the whole person. They really have more training in health coaching. So it's complicated. Because, you know, wellness is generally used to mean a healthy balance of the body, mind, and spirit that results in an overall feeling of well-being. Therefore, life coaching and wellness coaching are one.
Right, which is really different than just doing a smoking cessation class.
Exactly. Right. Totally different.
Yeah. This is Phoebe. Can I add something here or ask a question?
Yes, Phoebe. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. I really like what Lori just said because I think that's how I ended up specializing in wellness coaching with aging as well as transitions because I found by working with the whole person and just being able to access them in a healthcare setting in a way that was different from what the rest of the staff did, there was some balance and well-being created that wasn't there before or wouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of hard to define, and I'm now, too, in a recredentialing phase, and I want to keep my wellness focus as well as develop just in general the senior part. But I think, you know, just like it's great that the EAP has this thrust that you've been able to get coaching in there. I think in some way I've sort of started doing it with seniors. I've given certificates for attending a certain amount of groups and having a goal towards wellness because in these places where the seniors come for healthcare, other people set their goals. They don't really set their own. So I say, what would you like your goal to be? And that's how I get into wellness and putting it all together. But I'm sort of rambling because I guess I do sort of have a question of this, how this all fits together, but I guess that's really what's being addressed. So I'll just listen now and just express
thank you for sharing your use of wellness coaching.
Okay.
Yes. I really appreciate that. When you say you have some question of how it all fits together, what's the it you're referring to?
I meant like with seniors and the work, the classes in body, mind, spirit. I'm just, maybe it's not fitting together until I'm done and I make it fit with what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But with
right.
the credentialing and with the hours that I need, that's what I was wondering, what I meant.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. Yeah, I think you're on a path, and when you put that path together, it's all going to make sense as you do that. But you certainly could talk to Ellen or I about that, and we would be glad to assist you in picking classes and helping you to make those connections more visible.
Uh-huh. The class that you're just starting, would it be one to...
Totally. No. You're totally appropriate. It would tie it all together for
okay.
you, and you
okay.
would learn tools. And, you know, I'm starting two, actually, next week, the body-mind coaching tools for wellness and then the body-mind life coaching specialist certificate class. And that actually gives somebody a certificate and a specialty in learning how to learn the tools that I introduce in the shorter course, which is often just all people need. But some people really want to practice. They want to have some peer coaching. They want to work with the tools, and they want to see how they can develop their own personal coaching style, having body-mind awareness. And that's my love. That's my passion, is to let anyone can be work with any population, but that if you involve the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, you are working in the truest sense of what life coaching and wellness coaching is about.
Okay.
So,
you know,
email me, or if you want more questions, you know, answer more questions
okay.
about what might be the best path for you, even if you didn't take one of my classes. I'm on here as the co-director of our wellness track, as well as this organization that we're getting planning on doing some certification with, but also my own courses, which connect
mm-hmm.
up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is Mary Beth again. So what I'm hearing is that as long as you use common sense and, you know, don't try to develop a diet plan for somebody, for example, you know, as long as you, you know, stay within the bounds of coaching, then it's they're both the same for now. Do you know what I mean? Like life and wellness coaching are very similar.
I think there are the majority, yeah, very, very similar, and there are some distinctions. And it's not only common sense, it's knowing the ethical code you're under,
yeah.
as well as if there are state distinctions, like Ohio is conservative, and so it wants massage therapists to be licensed. It wants dietitians to be licensed, and you just always want to know where the ethical boundaries are as a professional, and so understanding, you know, what it is you can and cannot do.
For example,
the coach umbrella is not absolute. It doesn't mean
right.
you can override state laws.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You know, I have a dual career. You know, I still practice as a psychotherapist because I've done it for over 45 years, and I've been doing coaching for over 10 years. However, the first licensing company, licensing regulatory body I have to be responsible to is my first license as a licensed clinical social worker. Then I'm a PCC and I'm a BCC, and I have all these other certifications. But the first one I have to adhere by, which you know, ethically follows many similar things, but nevertheless, you know, they don't recognize coaching. Some other states recognize coaching and actually are starting to license it. So you got to be up on all that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any questions about the certificate or... there's two really great questions that people ask. I promise I will answer them. But right now, anybody else have anything they have about the certificate that you'd like to find out about personally for yourself or just in general? Okay.
Lori, what were those questions?
Okay, I'm going to. I'm going to bring them. I think they sort of, I want to do sort of the introduction of the mind-body so that the questions are very specific, but they're very useful in explaining what the value of having body-mind awareness. When I went to ILCT as a student, I got my certified life coach certificate, and I took the courses. And I never thought that I would create a body of work that I would then teach at the Institute, but I felt like, as in the field of psychology, and even in wellness coaching, body means so many different things. Like in wellness coaching, it's mostly connected to health. Very few people pay attention to body-mind awareness as a really important wellness tool. It's mentioned as an aspect of our being, but it's not used in the way that people who see the value of integrating it in conversation. And so it's inadvertently ignored. So I created these courses for that reason, to give people the opportunity to learn about the importance of, for example, breath, like right now, at this moment. I don't know what you were doing, but, you know, I was kind of, you know, minimally breathing and not holding my breath, but I was kind of listening and waiting. And so right now you have an opportunity, if you want, is to just sit back in your chair or stand up and take a couple breaths. Like you're listening, you're taking notes, you're getting questions answered or not, but just let's take a pause for a second and allow yourself to take a breath. And notice your body. Move a little, stretch a little. Allow yourself to just be in the present moment, all of you, not just listening, part of you. Okay, so When I created this material, when I teach a course, that always is a part of it. We use being in the present moment, mindfulness, pausing, using the breath to support us, to inform us, to engage us, and to assist us in actually shifting perspective. Because every time you take a breath, there's a moment where your mind isn't operating at full speed ahead. So in the two courses I created, Body-Mind Coaching Tools for Wellness, I present different tools that you can use no matter what your coaching focus is. And, you know, the basic assumptions, kind of like central organizing beliefs, are the mind and body are one, and that the body never lies. So when we engage the body, we get information that tells us if some idea we have, some action step we're taking, some goal we're going, really isn't in sync with all of who we are. It's a good idea. It's up in our head. It's a dream. But is it a dream that our whole person is behind? So we check in with our body. We use the information from our body. It's called the wisdom of the body in this field of somatic coaching, and the word of embodiment is used a lot in coaching, and it generally means focusing on the mind, the thoughts, and the body to assist you in exploring what's going on. So any questions as far from what I just said? Okay, so the other course is a deeper course, which I talked about. It's called Body, Mind, Life Coaching Specialist Certificate Course, Using the Body to Deepen Awareness and Forward the Action. One course is 7 weeks. The other course is 16 weeks. And one involves practice, the longer course, and the other involves tools that you can practice on your own. And also, both courses give you both a personal opportunity to learn about this for yourself as a coach, for yourself personally, with whatever is going on in your life right now, and also with your clients. So the two questions, one was by someone named Linda. I don't know if she's on the call, but she asked the question, is there evidence to suggest that breathing with your client is a good way to begin and or terminate coaching sessions? That was a great question, Linda. I don't know if you're on the call. In reality, I have no idea whether there's any coaching research, but there is a lot of research about meditation and mindfulness that's going on around the country, probably around the world, because initially it was introduced mindfulness-based stress reduction therapy to actually assist people with health problems and health-related issues. So, in fact, yes, there is research that breathing is very valuable in calming, in centering, and in reducing stress. So if we think about it in terms of whether you want to use it in your coaching, there's a couple ways that you can use it just from the start. First, you could, when someone is hiring you, if you let them know that you have an interest in this tool and that if they're willing and if they're interested, you'd like to begin coaching sessions with it and end it with it. And if it's something they like, that you'll do it regularly, but you might introduce it. Because, you know, you don't want to ever tell your client to do something. You know, we invite our clients, we offer the opportunity, but we let them make the decision. Because, in fact, in coaching, it's our client's agenda, not ours. So breathing is not my agenda, but I offer it as part of my toolkit that I bring to coaching. So if you begin a session with breath, you invite your client to do it, and then you've prepared a couple breathing exercises, which in coaching and the coaching core competencies is called do it now exercises. So you offer the opportunity, like we just did right now. So in the process of talking about something, I might even, after I even began a session or I ended it with the breathing, it's always about what is the client experiencing after you were breathing. Like, I asked you, does anyone have anything you want to share? But if it was my client, I would say, what was that experience like for you now? Pause. What are you aware of in your body? Never stacking the questions, but asking a question, pausing, and seeing what your client has to say. You begin to develop a dialogue about their experience in their body and also what they're thinking about now. You know, like that, sometimes people, they come on the call, we might start with a breathing exercise. What they put in their coaching prep form, which is one of the, you know, the way that we often start coaching sessions, is totally different now that they've come on the call, and then we begin our coaching that way. So, Linda, are you on the call? Do you have any other questions you have to ask about that? Okay. On the email that Ellen will send out, there's a wonderful experiment called the 3 Breaths Experiment that I got from a magazine. And if you would like a copy of that, respond to Ellen's email, and I'll send you a copy of that. It's really valuable. So any other questions pop up in people's heads as I was talking about that? I hear a lot of beeping. Any questions about body-mind coaching tools or the courses that I'm offering?
Lori, it's Mary Beth again.
Hi.
Hi. Do you see, you know, somatics as really kind of taking off the more that people know about mindfulness and really kind of focus on it as a tool for well-being? Do you see like more of a desire in people to learn about it?
Yes, that's a great question. Yeah, it's really amazing to see the difference 10 years ago to now. Not only is there a field of somatic coaching, there's a whole area of something called embodied transformation, which is using somatic, using the body mind, using approaches from many different fields to apply toward leadership, wellness, and health, and not so much health coaching, more wellness coaching, but a lot on leadership and executive coaching, involving the whole person. Because the way that somatics became really important and kind of started to make sense for people is that in coaching, we talk about gut feelings that we have sometimes when we're talking to somebody. Well, that's in your body, and that's an intuition you have. That's an idea you have. Well, our clients have gut feelings that sometimes they don't pay attention to. But if we begin to honor that as those nonverbal sensations we have in our body and we put words to them, it begins to actually deepen our ability to be present in the moment and do our jobs differently and interact with people and connect, be grounded and centered. So yeah, it's a really big field, and you're going to see more of it, more and more of it in the next 10 to 15 years, even greater because of it becoming internationally very popular. And the word is used a lot of, the word is called embodiment. That's used a lot instead of somatic. And embodiment is really a sense of being deeply present, not only to the psychological responses in your body, but all the way down to your breath and the ebb and flow of all your energy and to your emotional state. So embodiment is whole person wellness. Going right back to what I just said about defining wellness coaching and life coaching. So thanks for
and
that
it
question.
Makes so much sense in this really busy, everybody's running around all the time world. If you just take a couple minutes, your focus shifts entirely. Now, if you just really put out all the outside noises and distractions, it allows you a great chance to really focus in on what you're hearing within your body and your mind.
Yeah. Totally does. The other question was a great question from someone. I didn't see the name of the person. It said, how do we use our bodies for self-regulation? Well, so self-regulation is a big word used out there because the field of neuroscience is impacting coaching. It's been impacting psychotherapy and medicine for the last 15 years. But now in the last 5 to 7 years, it's really impacting coaching. And so, and self-regulation is a word also from psychoanalytic field, and self-regulation is actually, you know, it's a physiological term. The body self-regulates to maintain a stable internal environment despite changes in the external environment, and that's called homeostasis. So if you remember your science, the body is this unbelievably powerful organism that can, you know, that seeks homeostasis. An alien virus comes in. There's an imbalance that it's occurring. It rights itself. So when you think about that psychologically, there's a lot of psychological components to that. But I'm not going to be giving you a lecture about that. But if you fast forward to to coaching, think about it. Well, so, you know, in my frame of mind, which I call a body mindset, the term I coined before somatics or embodiment came into being, if with a body mindset, a person, if we're seeking homeostasis, we're grounded, our feet are connected to the earth, we're feeling centered, you know, we have a sense of, you know, power and energy, we can feel it in our body because we breathe, and so energy moves through our body, then we're connected to ourselves, you know, and others, we have boundaries. So, you know, we're not merged with someone unless we want to be, you know, we don't separate unless we want. So we move forward, we move backwards, we move sideways, down, to the left, right, up and down. So, you know, so all, even in our conversations with people, there's always this self-regulation going on to maintain homeostasis. So in coaching, when we offer a person body-mind awareness, we're assisting in that homeostatic balance for a person to really achieve the goals they want, to move forward, in that direction. You know, that's why I call it, you know, body, mind, life coaching, this term I coined, you know, deepen, using the body to deepen awareness and forward the action. So we've got the movement. So that was a great question about self-regulation. Now, just to give you a couple tips, the most important thing about if a person gets unself-regulated, they get into integration, it's called, they might get stuck in their head, they're worried, they're frustrated, they're not getting things done the way they want. So usually that means there's some kind of thought or feeling or memory that's hijacked us. It's called something gets hijacked, and that's running the show. So what we say, and this is totally goes along with what life coaching is about, because life coaching used the best of all the systems out there that work, is that if we use tools as such as breathing, movement, reflection, storytelling, and connection, emotional connection, we get regulated again. So you calm yourself through your breath, you calm yourself through connection, through grounding and centering. So so regulation comes back. When we get triggered out, we have a way to come back, and coaching and wellness coaching teach us that. Very quick lesson, but I hope if the person who asked that question, I hope that answers that for you.
That's great. Thank you, Lori.
Uh-huh. Any other questions or comments?
We will be keeping you up to date as much as possible. And for those who are thinking maybe someday down the road they want this, as I said, when Amy sends out the recording of this, we'll put on just a quick thing where you can jump into SurveyMonkey and say, add my name, and we'll, or Amy will come up with something, and we will just keep in a list, because as they are setting up this new credential, we are getting updates often, and we'll just send them out to you. So that you're aware of the time frames that they're working on. And, of course, we are, as Lori said earlier, she and I are both always available if you guys want to ask questions about the classes you've taken or whether this is the right credential or anything else.
Right. And if you would like that three breaths experiment, if you want, just, you know, my email's on the website, you know, you can just email me. I'll send it to you. If there's not a way to
Or if you send it to Amy, Amy can just attach it to this if you'd like.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'll send it to people who want it. You know, there are a lot of people on this call who may not at all be interested. Right. So, and the other thing you were going to mention, Ellen, is that if anyone wanted to sign up for the courses, you know, in the, I guess the 24 hours after this call, what's the deal that you're, the little gift you're giving?
Oh, yes, we are setting up for your two classes for the next 48 hours if they want to, because they start next week. They can get 10% off if they type in the word well, W-E-L-L, all caps, in the coupon code box and hit the apply button. But you have to give me like 20 minutes because I haven't actually activated it yet.
That's cool. Well, I like that.
I am not very creative when it comes to coupon codes.
You could have put breathe, though. Next time we'll put breathe.
Yeah, but that's why I'd have to know how to spell it well.
Well, so anybody have any questions? Anybody want to learn anything right now in our last few minutes?
If not, thank you all so very much for coming, and we will keep you up to date on what's going on.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.